Hi, and welcome to Jolly's Spring 2018 podcast series. This is Heidi Hadley, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today I will be speaking with Kathleen C. Colantonio Yurko, who is an assistant professor of literacy at State University of New York, Rockport, and Henry Cody Miller, a PhD candidate in English education at the University of Florida and a ninth grade teacher at P.K. Young DRS, and Jennifer Chevalier, an eighth grade teacher at P.K. Young Developmental Research School, the K-12 public laboratory school affiliated with the University of Florida's College of Education. Their manuscript is titled, But She Didn't Scream, Teaching About Sexual Assault in Young Adult Literature. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to hearing more about your work. Let's start with you, Kate. Your article discusses how teachers might use literature to talk about issues of sexual assault and rape. Why do you think English teachers are well positioned to talk about sexual assault?
Well, I'd say that sexual assault and rape, these concepts are already prevalent in literature that exists in classrooms. So the article actually came out of the fact that many texts that we already had in our courses deal with this very topic. And many books that are widely read in English language arts courses or books that are included on many suggested teaching lists or the AP book list have sexual violence as a plot point. So therefore, English language arts teachers can choose to discuss sexual violence with students because it's already kind of present in the very text that they read in class. So some teachers can read these same texts and opt to skip discussions about the social issue. For example, if Teacher A and Teacher B are both reading The Kite Runner in the class, Teacher A could minimally discuss the sexual violence, one of the most important moments of the text, and Teacher B, on the other hand, could confront what takes place and address how it relates to the overall plot of the book. So, for example, in my own class, students always wanted to kind of address notions of redemption, which was a theme in The Kite Runner surrounding the sexual violence in the novel, because one of the characters doesn't intervene during the attack, and it kind of haunts him for the rest of his life, and that's prevalent in the narrative. So for me, it was something that I chose to discuss in my class because it was tied directly to the text.
I can add a bit to Kate's answer. I wanted to reiterate what Kate began, which is that because of our content, which is literature, if you're staying true to the study of the content, then you don't ignore that these authors have made intentional choices to put these plot points in there. So if we're doing right by our discipline, we are going to investigate every choice the author makes, including those about rape and sexual assault. And then to add to that, I think one of the reasons why English language arts is uniquely positioned to teach these topics is because in literature, we enter a narrative world where the rules are different, you know, and the people look different, the context and the setting is different from our everyday lives, but we can transfer these textual experiences and encounter them a bit more readily when it's part of the narrative text world, and then take that back with us and apply it to our own lives, the lessons learned there.
Thank you, Jen. Cody, can you tell us a little bit about what conclusions you draw about how teachers might frame these discussions?
Sure. So I think that any time we are talking about topics like rape and sexual assault, we have to always center our analysis in power. So who has power in a setting, and then how do larger systems either give certain people power or take that power away? I also think when thinking about the four books that we chose to talk about in the article, Copper Sun, Speak, Sold, and Gabby, a Girl in Pieces, it's also really important that students understand that rape and sexual assault happen across time and culture, right? So, for instance, Copper Sun takes place in the past and Sold takes place in Nepal. And what we don't want students to do is to think that because something happened in the past in a text or because it happens in another country, it doesn't happen within our own context. So we're in Florida, and Florida has a high amount of sex trafficking. So it was really important for our students not to kind of have this view that things in the West are fine, but it's problems in Nepal that are the issue, but instead see that these problems span across the globe. I think that's really important as well. I also think that in engaging in these topics, to go back to the concept of power, we also have to think about how power influences who gets believed and who doesn't, and who is able to, you know, who is able to get away with sexual assault and there are no repercussions. So for instance, I think of comparing a text like Copper Sun with To Kill a Mockingbird. So in Copper Sun, of course, it's a narrative about an enslaved, told from the perspective of an enslaved character. And when slaves were sexually, enslaved people were sexually assaulted, right, that was totally legal within the framework because enslaved people weren't seen as humans. Whereas in a text like To Kill a Mockingbird, for instance, a black man is falsely accused of rape and the justice system does not protect him. So I think it's also important in these discussions that we also think about power and also think about race in these discussions as well.
Jen, what are some of the challenges you encountered in your classrooms as you taught these texts with students? And what advice would you give to other educators?
So a primary challenge that came across that I think as a teacher's duty to be on the lookout for is to understand that sexual trauma may be a real part of these students' lives, and therefore discussions about it can be triggering for them. And so I think it is my best advice is to speak with whatever sort of mental health services or counselors that teachers may have on hand in their schools. Let them know that this discussion is coming up and see what resources are available or if they're even able to partner with you in the class during the discussion. And talk about how trauma affects the brain so that students can have outlets to just process it. It can be traumatic even just processing it within the narrative, but especially triggering if students relate to it personally. So a primary concern is students' health and well-being. And then beyond that, other people who may be affected by our curriculum are, of course, parents. Many parents are invested in their students and want to know what's going on in school, what are they reading, and what are they talking about. And there can be occasional parent pushback whenever you're discussing issues like rape and sexual trauma. And especially in a middle school setting, so the course in which we taught Copper Sun and Mockingbird was an eighth grade ELA class. So for teachers, my advice is to communicate with your administration and also communicate with parents. Sending home book summaries is a good thing to do so that ahead of time before you start to kind of deal with things on the front end and communicate out to parents on the front end. And then offering choice and alternatives is also a good idea so that parents feel comfortable in the content that their children are exposed to. I think Kate can talk in a bit more detail about specific times that she's dealt with pushback.
So I really like what Jen said about making sure that students feel safe and then also her suggestions for handling parent pushback. So I think, as she noted in the article, we kind of do talk about legitimizing texts and kind of thinking about that parents, as well as the school, kind of understand what we're teaching and why. So it's not like these texts are being taught to corrupt children. The sexual violence is already in these texts, and many of the texts have been award-winning texts, or they're widely taught across the country. And so making kind of the community in which you teach kind of see the merit of the text is helpful. I think with parent pushback as well. So I think that's a concern for me. And then a second concern beyond that was I think also maybe like safety for the teacher too. So when I taught in a rural school, I taught Speak, and I was very concerned that I was going to get into trouble. And so it was my third year at the school, and I had some respect, and I was kind of viewed, I think, as a generally a good teacher. So I was willing to kind of incorporate this book into Speak into my curriculum. And we were only permitted to teach from the textbooks or books that were available in the book room. And so there had been another teacher on campus who was very well respected in the community, and she was well received in our department. And she taught the text, I believe, the previous year, or she'd at least ordered it. So the book was in the book room. And I was given permission by her and the reading coach to go ahead and teach it. And I notified all the curriculum people, this is what I'm going to teach. And it ended up being a very powerful unit where we kind of confronted school culture, bullying, and then sexual assault, obviously that's in the text. But I was constantly concerned or worried that my instruction was going to be challenged, that the text was going to be challenged, and that maybe in some ways would have put my position as a teacher in jeopardy. So I think that in terms of advice for teachers, making sure that other faculty and leaders on campus know that educators or you as a teacher are teaching this text and that these topics could come up, and then looking at individually like how the school wants to deal with that. And as Jen said, like notifying different entities around campus so that students have support as well.
Cody, I'm sure y'all have been following along with the recent Me Too movement on social media, as most of us have. How do you think these movements might challenge, enhance, or change the way that educators talk about sexual assault in the classroom?
Yeah, so I think in the article we talk about at the end is a scene where some students were talking about the opening scene in Romeo and Juliet, in which two male characters are kind of casually talking about sexually assaulting a female. And so that scene this year was interesting because students, you know, themselves said, like, this is like hashtag Me Too, right? And it's like, yeah, I mean, that these two men are so casually talking about sexually assaulting a woman, and it's framed as innocuous. And absolutely, that's how, you know, many men in powerful positions do casually sexually harass female colleagues and female employees. And we now are seeing this movement that highlights that reality. So I had seen just students already kind of responding to the hashtag MeToo movement within responses to literature. I think that, of course, schools reflect, you know, the broader realities of our society. And we, you know, anecdotally know, of course, that both sexual assault but also sexual harassment are realities that teachers face. You know, when we look at who has powers in school systems, it's typically cisgender men who have power in school systems. And so I'm hoping that this Me Too movement begins to think about not, you know, it begins to, we're able to kind of think about, like, why is it that cisgender men, you know, have these power? How do we make sure that schools are safe, not just for students, but also for teachers as well? I think that that's really important. I also think that as a cisgender male myself, I think it's always really important for me to talk about how I have to check my own maleness in the class, right? And how it's really important as a cisgender male to be a male and to model that, like, these are serious issues and that, you know, rape jokes aren't funny, harassment is real. And at a basic, to really just show, like, respect for women. So I had a conversation with a student, a male student had asked a female student out, and the female student said, you know, this is the place, don't ask me out in the classroom. And the male student was like, I don't understand why. So we had to chat, and I said, you know, like, this is a space where your fellow student is here to learn, and it's not a space for her to kind of be sexualized. And so you need to honor that she's here to learn just like you are. And so I think because of this larger social movement, I think that it is kind of seeping into classroom and into students. And I think it could be a moment that teachers use to talk about bodily autonomy and respect.
I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, Kathleen, Cody, and Jen, for speaking with me today. I really think this is really interesting work, and I look forward to seeing the ways that your article contributes to these conversations. Listeners, to learn more about these authors' work, check out Jolly's spring issue to be published in April.